Well, good evening, church. Back again. I'm so glad you've been with me. I'm so glad you've been encouraging me and loving me and singing with me. That's very encouraging. So grateful to be fed like a visiting preacher. I'm fighting my weight. I always do. I'm doing okay. I haven't ballooned up since I've been here too bad. Speak where the Bible speaks will be the message of the hour. It's pretty fundamental. It's about Bible authority, and I will go ahead and let's just go straight to the important part of this first. We're going to make a big old clarification here. I go hard against groups that source their doctrine from man. I rebuke that by the authority of Jesus Christ. Sometimes when I point out that invite Jesus into your heart and accept Jesus as your personal Savior and church of your choice and sinner's prayer are all sourced from man and they come from man-made creed books and manuals. Some folks will step up and say, hey, but Campbell came up with Speak Where the Bible Speaks. So we're going to clarify this right now. Let's say that I came up with the term, if you don't have Jesus, you don't have any hope. That is a true statement. It is based on biblical fact. It is a biblical fact. If Jesus is the only source of our hope because of his blood and his perfect life, if I come up with a clever way to restate a Bible truth, I'm not the source of that Bible truth. Okay? If you don't have Jesus, you don't have any hope. Let's say the whole world just latches onto that. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Son of God latches onto that and says it. I'm still not the source of that truth. In the exact same way, a man named Campbell is not the source of the truth that we need to speak where the Bible speaks. Okay? He didn't come up with that concept. He came up with a clever way to say it. It resonates with us because we fear God and we believe the promises that God has made about His Bible, that it completely equips us, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, that He has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, 2 Peter 1:3. The faith has already been delivered once for all, Jude 1:3. So Campbell is not the source of that. I've had folks jump up, say, hey, but you teach, you're a Campbellite. You ever heard that one? Ugh. That's offensive, and it should be. Why? Because we're Christians. We're not hyphenated. So you know what to say when they accuse you of being a Campbellite. You know what the response is. This is super simple. It gets right to it. You can defuse that situation just like this. Watch. Can you provide evidence of something that I'm teaching you that is peculiar to Campbell? Because if you can't, you need to repent of calling me something that I wouldn't dream of calling myself. Can you show me something I'm teaching you that originates with Campbell? If you can't, please stop, because I'm a Christian. All right. Guess what I know about Campbell? I don't know much. I hadn't studied. I don't need to know anything about Campbell to become a Christian. Yeah, I'm just a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I don't want to be anything else. I want to be a Christian because that's who's going to heaven. It's Christians, not Protestants or hyphenated Christians of any type, not Catholics, not Buddhists or Muslims or anybody. Christians are going to heaven. I want to go to heaven, so I'm a Christian. That's the only people who are going to heaven. Faithful Christians. Faithful to death. Revelation 2:10. So speak where the Bible speaks. This shot was taken when I was in Knoxville. Just a beautiful shot. I saw a shot. I took an opportunity, snatched it. It's going to go on my third CD. Y'all can rejoice with me. I am sold after that little pile that's left out there, sold. I ran out of my second CD before I got here. I will have sold 900 CDs when I'm done with that pile that's out there. So that is a big blessing to me, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful for y'all who've supported my family, my labor for the Lord. I'm not a pulpit minister. I hustle. I have to hustle, you know? I scrap metal. That's the kind of hustling I do. I clean up after a Christian contractor carrying out rolls of carpet that weigh as much as me and toilets and 275-pound cast iron tubs by myself. I hustle. I work hard. So thank you for supporting my family. That's what I'm trying to do, is hustle and support my family as a Christian man ought to. So thank you for that, and rejoice with me. This is a rejoice with me kind of thing. I'm so grateful that the CDs are actually selling. I had to be talked into having them produced. I just really didn't think anybody wanted them. People kept asking. I was like, no, you don't really want a CD. You just want to go on YouTube and play it, right? No, people actually wanted physical things. And I don't even think they even, I know some folks put them in a player, but I think it's just having a tangible thing. So this is just a, hey, rejoice with me kind of thing. God's blessings, let's celebrate them together. Like we celebrate the beauty of God's creation. A lot of blessings right there. Those flowers are gorgeous. The sky is gorgeous. Man's ability to contain animals using fencing and keep them dry and keep their tools and implements safe in that old barn and the beauty of an old barn. Lots of blessings. Count them all. Keep them counted all the time. Keep counting those blessings. There's Bitsy, one of my blessings. That's home. I'm looking forward to going home. I am. I love being here, but I can't wait to get back to that. Looking forward to being on the land, catching some crawdads and some minnows in that creek, playing with Bitsy in the woods, blazing the trails. Who knows what that is? Those are, all right, that is a species of red raspberry. It's called a wild wineberry. It's a type of raspberry. They're an invasive species from Japan, and I call them welcome invaders. 18 pounds on my property. Are you kidding me? That's God right there. That's how much God loves me. They're delicious. Wonderful. Put them on pancakes. Scratch-made oat flour pancakes with maple syrup and that right there. Let me tell you what. God's blessings right there. 18 pounds. I didn't mean to, but I issued a challenge. I didn't really mean to issue a challenge to my wife. I think 14 pounds, 14 and a half pounds is what we got in the previous year, and I'm always trying to, oh, we can do better this year. We can do better. They're just wild, growing all over my property. I kind of issued a challenge. Oh, yeah, I beat you today. That day she went out. I think the most I ever got in one day is like a pound and three quarters by myself. You get all scratched up. It's worth it. End of July, end of June, beginning of July, 4 weeks. Get it while the getting's good. My wife went out and got 4 pounds in one day. Took me straight to school, my wife did. Talk about a blessing. She showed up all grinning, all scratched up, sweating. It was beautiful. Those are God's blessings. I've got them. I try to space it out. I try to make it last until the next harvest. And yes, I make preserves out of them sometime. Just lemon juice and maple syrup. Cook them down. Those three things. That's it. That's all I put in there. So it's more like a syrup. God's blessings, right there it is, on my property. Amazing blessings. God loves me. That was down in Florida. I think it's called a hooded warbler, maybe? It's the first time I'd ever seen that. Shot it with my iPhone. Blessings, blessings, blessings abound. God is amazing. God is amazing. All right, so this is the first lesson I taught here. 7 times 70. And I'm going to bring it up again. I've been trying to figure out the best way to do these things. I could throw a bunch of songs at you, or I could repeat a couple of them, try to make them stick better. Really enjoyed writing this, enjoyed teaching this, and I enjoyed you singing it with me. And I enjoyed you teaching me that I need to be forgiving of my brethren. Thank you for teaching me. So I want you to teach me again. Let's sing it again, y'all.
Yeah.
Church sounded great, very encouraging. You know, it doesn't matter if it sounds good to us, right? It doesn't matter that I love that musically and that it is fulfilling to me. All that matters is what we sing, the doctrine of Christ. That's it. When we are singing, we're teaching. Whatever we teach has to be by the authority of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Put those two together, keep them together. Colossians 3:16 and 17. Sing, teach, admonish. Colossians 3:16. Whatever we do, teach, sing, must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. We've got to sing the doctrine of Christ. I try to make it crystal clear. You can't miss what I'm teaching in these hymns. That is my goal. Forgiveness. Had a debate. I did. I had an online debate. I've had two about baptism. I'm sharing these with you to motivate you to work. Work for the Lord till you're dead, wrung out, used up. That's what you're here for, right? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep His commandments. That is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's why you exist. Took this man to task here. I love him and I want him to go to heaven. I want the people who believe like he does to go to heaven. I was grateful that he was willing to defend what he believed. I'm going to encourage you at this point. It's your homework. Now, this full debate's online. It's not very long, actually. An hour-ish, maybe a little more. The first one I had went over 2 hours with a young man. He looks 16 in the video. He was 26 or 7 in the video. His name's Tanner. I love him. He is still lost, bearing the guilt of all of his sin because he doesn't believe in God's terms for salvation, which culminate in immersion in water because Jesus said so, for the reason Jesus said, which is the remission of sins. Those who don't believe that don't do that. They haven't been baptized. They go into the water thinking that they were already saved. They haven't been baptized because they haven't met God's terms for salvation. What they did does not meet with God's definition of baptism. I love Tanner, and I love my opponent here. His name is Robert Matheson. And your homework, you can watch the whole video if you want to, either one. If you just do Paul May's debate on YouTube, you'll find it. But there is the baptism defining moment video. Paul May's defining moment, if you remember that. Baptism debate defining moment, any of that. Baptism, Paul May's defining moment. Baptism debate, you'll find a 5-minute video that you need to watch. In that excerpt from the debate, Robert, we agreed ahead of time, I'm going to ask you a question, you are bound to answer. Do you agree to that? Yes. So we both decided to do that at the end, 2 questions apiece. And one of my questions was, Robert, which one of the following statements are true? He that believes and is baptized will be saved, or he that believes will be saved and then baptized. I'm just pinning him down. I just was logically, theologically pinning him down. You're either going to believe Jesus by repeating his words, or you're going to deny him right here. Sadly, he denied him right here. He said, that's the only 2 questions? That's the only 2 options? Yes. He said, he that believes will be saved. No baptism needed. That's what he said. He could not just repeat the words of Jesus. If you will go watch that, you will watch my genuine, terror-filled reaction. Terror. I'm terrified for you is one of the things I said to him. You'll see a genuine reaction of my pain, and it will motivate you. You will know how far people are willing to go to deny his terms for salvation. They're willing to go all the way to denying the very words of Jesus Christ. If you will take that and ingest it, you will know just how urgent our work is. People out here do not believe in Jesus. When they don't believe the words of Jesus, they don't believe in Jesus. Then you get them on the back of the Bible. Teach those folks, show them those things, show them some of the things that I'm teaching here if you want. Share a video of this very thing with them, and then get them into Back to the Bible. That's what we're trying to do. Very simple, straightforward. It's Bible questions with Bible answers. Fill in the blank. You shall know the truth, and the blank shall make you free. John 8:32. And then they look it up, and then they fill it out. And you go step by step by step. It's cumulative. It's amazing. Used properly, 90% conversion rate. That says it all. We need to be working. Look at my chicks. Babies. Part of my blessings at my house. I love my chicks. Love my chickens. All right, let's get into it. Speak where the Bible speaks. This is about Bible authority. This is a fun, I've said this many, many times, but I've never said it from a pulpit. I went to GBN to make a pitch. I want to work here. I want to teach my hymns on GBN. I want to teach the messages that the hymns teach. I have an episode called The Fruit of Our Lips. That's also the title of my life's work. And I was talking to Don Blackwell and Mark Teske, and I was in the office with them in warehouse. He said, the floor is yours. Let's have it. And I was telling him about my work, and he said, well, I have to tell you. He said, I heard Speak Where the Bible Speaks on a Saturday, and on a Sunday, I couldn't get it out of my head. Awesome. That's great. That's great. Why is it great? Well, because it's the doctrine of Christ. If you can't get the doctrine of Christ out of your head, I am doing the job I was sent to do. That's a fact right there. I write the doctrine of Christ into what I really try to make write as hooks, memorable earworms, my daughter calls them. If you can't get it out of your head, like 7 times 70, I bet that was pretty memorable to you. Some folks tell me, oh, I heard it one day, and the next day I couldn't get it out of my head. The Hall Boys had heard this song one time, and they were singing it to me today, and that was a while back. Awesome. Very, very exciting. Very encouraging to me, because those kids are singing, hey, we need to have Bible authority. I mean, the first line of the first verse says, we must have authority for all things religious. Is that the doctrine of Christ? That's the doctrine of Christ right there. The kids are singing it too, yes. So I am accomplishing my goal here of glorifying God in these songs, and I appreciate your interaction with me, your support. I appreciate you singing these with me. It's very encouraging. Very encouraging to hear you sing Speak Where the Bible Speaks. Musically, big old two-beat rest. That's how I like to teach this. Speak where the Bible speaks. There's a big old rest there, a two-beat rest. You see up there, there's two rests right there. No, I can't read music, but I know there's a rest. So I'm just going to sing it the way it goes with numbering the rest. We're not going to sing these numbers, but this is how big the rest is. It's going to go like this. Speak, 2, 3, where the Bible speaks. That's how long it is. So it'll go, speak, where the Bible speaks, be silent, rest, where the Bible's silent. And then, at the end of each verse, it's not transcribed out, but I think it's called staccato. I guess I am learning some things. When worshiping the Father who created all, it's crisp. When worshiping the Father who created all. That's how that works there. When we all do it together, it sounds great. The church picks this one up the first time, every time. And I think that's the only thing I have to teach you. All right.
Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent. Where the Bible's silent, do Bible things in Bible ways. Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent. Where the Bible's silent, all Bible things by Bible names. We must have authority for all things religious. We must have authority from God's own word. Thus saying, the Lord should drive all of our choices when worshiping the Father who created all. Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent. Where the Bible's silent, do Bible things in Bible ways.
Amen, church. Way to sing it. Way to sing the doctrine of Christ. You just taught me to have Bible authority for my beliefs, for my practices. For anything religious, I better have the authority of God by having the authority of Scripture. Not man-made manuals. They don't exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. But the Bible completely equips us. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So we talked about being forgiving of one another. That's part of speaking where the Bible speaks, about part of being that one church of the Bible. We've talked about repenting, asking God for forgiveness with Father, forgive. That's a tough thing to do. Walk in the light. Keep fighting that good fight of faith. We talked about that. That's part of being the one church of the Bible. We talked about being the one church of the Bible. The church of Christ is the church of Christ. And now we're to speak where the Bible speaks. This is a huge part. This is everything to be the church of Christ rather than being a denomination. We're going to speak where the Bible speaks. That's what we're going to do. Let's take apart these lyrics by the authority of Scripture. Make sure all of this is the doctrine of Christ. Speak where the Bible speaks. So we covered that this does not originate with Campbell, right? This speak where the Bible speaks does not originate with Campbell. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. I wonder if Campbell wrote that. Nope, that's 1 Peter 4:11. Yeah. If any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. If we speak where the Bible speaks, if we speak as the oracles of God, God is glorified through Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Bible revealed to us. The Bible is Jesus revealed to us. It's His authority succinctly, reliably revealed to us. When we speak where the Bible speaks, God is glorified. The rest of that verse, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, so the first verse, we must have authority for all things religious. We must have authority from God's own Word. Is that the truth? Is that the doctrine of Christ, what we just sang there? Can I get an amen if that is the doctrine of Christ? We must have authority for all things religious. We must have God's authority, Jesus' authority. We only can only get that from the Bible. I don't have any authority. Brian doesn't have any authority. You guys that are older than me don't have authority. You guys that are younger than me, you don't have authority. Nobody has authority. Jesus has all authority. His authority is revealed succinctly, reliably, in the God-breathed record. God-breathed, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. We must have authority for all things religious. We must have authority from God's own Word. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Colossians 3:17. I've referenced that scripture many, many times this week so far. We've got to. If we don't have the authority of Jesus, then whatever we're doing religiously is in vain. That means it does not work. That big old Buick out there that I brought, let's say I go out there and I'm going to start it up. I'm going to crank that thing up, fire up that old 350 in there, and I'm going to get down the road with it. But I don't have gas in it. It'll be fine. I'll put the key in because the key works that ignition. The ignition, it's 25 years old, but it's not worn out yet. It still works fine. And the starter, it's the original starter, but it still works. That motor, it's only got 113,000 miles on it. It'll be fine. It'll crank right over, won't it? Just had the transmission rebuilt from pulling that camper. It wore it out. I had it rebuilt just right for the job. It'll be fine. So even though I don't have gas, I'll be fine, right? I'm going to crank that, and it's going to go whoop, 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 whoop. It's going to keep cranking, and it will be in vain that I'm cranking it. You know what I mean there? It's not going to work. If we don't have the authority of Jesus, it's like cranking a car without gas. It's going to crank and crank and crank, and it is in vain that you are cranking it. It's not going to fire. You might be serving God, thinking you're serving God, your whole life. But if what you are doing is not by the authority of Jesus Christ, if you're doing things that man makes up and puts in these man-made manuals that have no authority to exist, period, in some man-made denomination that has no authority to exist, period, it is in vain that you are serving him. You're not serving him. It's not going to work. It's in vain. We've got to have Bible authority for these things, for our beliefs, for our thoughts, for our practices. We must have authority from God's own word. Thus saith the Lord should drive all of our choices when worshiping the Father who created all. So a very specific example of this is Acts 20 and verse 7. When the disciples came together on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. So that means that once a quarter, once a month, twice a year on Christmas and Easter, we're going to get together and remember the death of... We're not, because that is not in the name of the Lord. We must have authority from God's own word. Thus saith the Lord. Okay, the thus saith the Lord in this case is that we will meet on the first day of the week to remember the death of the Savior by observing the Lord's Supper. We're going to take unleavened bread. That's a thus saith the Lord. We take unleavened bread with a thus saith the Lord. We take grape juice. We take the fruit of the vine. We drink that to remember his blood. That I have a thus saith the Lord for that. We have to have a thus saith the Lord for all of our practices, or else it's in vain. Cranking that engine with no gas, it won't work. It doesn't work unless we do it by the authority of Jesus Christ when worshiping the authority. Thus saith the Lord should drive all of our choices when worshiping the Father who created all. We sing. Do we use instruments? We don't. We haven't talked about that a whole lot. I got a wall of evidence on that subject. I got all those evidences shored up, strengthened, bolstered. All the evidences on acceptable worship music, I got it all. If you want them, get with me. I got a note right here on this iPad. I'll drop it to you. When worshiping the Father who created all, we've got to have a thus saith the Lord, or else it's in vain. It doesn't worship. It doesn't work. We can't worship God the way we want to. We have to worship Him the way He has stated explicitly. Sing, teach, admonish. Whatever we do must be by the authority of Jesus Christ. Instruments are not by the authority of Jesus Christ. They're not in His name. He didn't authorize it. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible's silent. Do Bible things in Bible ways. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible's silent. Call Bible things by Bible names. Silence speaks loudly. It does. The Lord's church is organized into autonomous congregations shepherded by a plurality of biblically qualified elders, bishops, presbyters, shepherds, overseers. Same role. If a group has a bishop over a group of congregations, that is not speaking where the Bible speaks. That is not being silent where the Bible is silent. We do not have authority to have any governing bodies above the local autonomous congregations. That's an example of speaking where the Bible speaks. This church doesn't answer to some state gathering or whatever, some convention, nationwide thing, some worldwide headquarters. No, the Lord's headquarters for His church is in heaven. That's it. That is speaking where the Bible speaks. Our love of the Father is shown in our choices. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments, John 14:50. It's shown when we strive to obey His word. That's how God knows that we love Him. If we live our lives patterned after His will for our lives, as sourced from the completely sufficient word. Speak where the Bible speaks. We lead by example when we offer praises. We show the world, don't we? Y'all have music over there in that Church of Christ. That's one word, by the way. Church of Christ. You heard that one? Yeah. Y'all don't have music over there. Yes, we do. We have the best kind of music in the Lord's church. The kind that He authorized. That's why it's the best kind. It's not the best kind because that's what I like. I love it. You can hear by what I produce that I love it. Guess what? It doesn't matter what I like. It doesn't matter what you like. All that matters is what God likes. We lead by example when we offer praises. We show the world, well, God wants us to sing. You know that, right? He didn't tell us that He likes us to play instruments, dead, lifeless instruments that can't obey the command to teach and admonish. That'll preach right there. When worshiping the Father who created all, We lead by example. We show the world exactly how God wants us to worship Him when we worship exactly like He wants us to. Yeah, pretty straightforward. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible's silent. Do Bible things in Bible ways. Speak where the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible's silent. Call Bible things by Bible names. That's why I'm called a Campbellite. Oh, that's right. I'm not, am I? Not a Calvinist. Not an Arminian Pelagian. Not a Protestant. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts 11:26. Now I'm going to make you do it with me. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. The disciples were called Protestants? No. Catholics? Nope. Lutherans? Nope. They were called Christians. That name glorifies God. It glorifies Christ. It shows who we belong to. I belong to Christ. I'm a Christian. Yeah. That's why I'm a Christian. That's why we are Christians. Call Bible things by Bible names. This one's beautiful. God loves us enough to reveal what's expected. His church is described in His holy word. You know, He could have left us hanging. Let's let them just guess. And maybe they'll figure it out. He didn't even have to give us the privilege of worshiping Him. He didn't. He could have made us and just let us run around wondering how to live our lives, but He didn't. He loved us enough to show us how to organize His church. He organized it. We follow His pattern. Yes, it's a pattern, divinely revealed pattern. If we follow it, we're the church of Christ. If we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we're the church of Christ. He loves us that much. Recently, I've kind of graduated. I teach people about, in this case, the acceptable way of worship music. It's the privilege to approach God with worship. I like to call it an avenue. It's a way to reach God. We get to do that. For a while there, I was teaching folks, He doesn't owe us a list. You get the objection. He didn't say we couldn't. That's foolishness. I think that's one of the worst ones. Guess what else He didn't say we could do? I'm going to juggle cats. Yeah, that's what He didn't have to tell me not to juggle cats, okay? He didn't have to tell me not to learn how to carve an ice sculpture with a chainsaw as worship. And He doesn't have to tell me not to play a fiddle for worship. Guess what I play? Bass and drums and guitar and piano, and I love it. But I wouldn't dream of offering that to God for worship because He didn't ask me to. I also wouldn't carve an ice sculpture and offer it as worship to Him because He didn't ask me to. He does not owe us a list of worship that is not acceptable. I want you to start picturing. Here we go. Okay, the Bible starts here. Okay, no juggling cats. No ice sculpture, no smoky burnouts on your Harley Davidson, no solitaire? Oh. No fancy brickwork? No. And how big would the Bible be if God had to do that? It's ridiculous to think that God owes us a list. Then I realized, wow, He doesn't even owe us a list of what worship He will accept. He's just that merciful and wonderful. Thank you, God, for offering a way for me to approach You with my adoration, with my worship for You. Thank You for making it simple enough that we can all do it. If you can't sing, guess what? You can sing. You can. If you don't think it's on tune, guess in key, in tune, guess what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I don't like it. It doesn't matter. If you sing the truth, it is beautiful to the only one who matters. God Almighty. That's it. If you sing the truth, it is gorgeous, a sweet savor. I think I remember something about God thinking the hair of a bull burning is a sweet savor. Is burning hair, does that smell good to you? Because it doesn't smell good to me. It doesn't matter what I like. It matters what God likes. Speaking where the Bible speaks, we offer the fruit of our lips. Hebrews 13:15. God loves us enough to reveal what's expected. His church is described in His holy word. The order, the practice, the doctrine, the reverence. We're worshiping the Father who created all. Wonderful. God loves us just that much. If you want to be my church, do this. Assemble on the first day of the week to remember the death of my son. Remember that he died for you, that he gave his perfectly sinless blood for you because you could not live sinlessly and you deserve death. Talk about Jesus. Show other people the way to be his children by hearing the good news, believing it, repenting, confessing his name before men, and being immersed in water because he said so for the reason he said so. God loves us that much. Merciful God. He could have just left us out here wandering as clueless humans like we are. But instead, he gave us his inspired word that completely equips us. Through it, we are thoroughly, all the way, furnished. I've got every tool I need to fight against Satan, to teach people about the one way of salvation and the one pre-denominational church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Pre, before, denomination, religious division. The one church, blood-bought, the one holy bride of Christ, Revelation 21:2, that's going home with him in the clouds. God loves us that much. This line has become more and more dear to me the more I teach this. God loves us enough to reveal what's expected. His church, not denominations, his church is described in his holy word, the order, the practice, the doctrine, the reverence. God is to be revered. We're worshiping the Father who created all. He spoke the universe into existence. We are his. We are meant to serve him. Live our lives for him. I pray that you will, church. I pray that you will stay focused on him every day. And when you stumble, get back up now. Immediately, when you stumble, get back up. Repent. Confess to him. I did it again, Father. Please forgive me. As we studied in the second message on Sunday morning. Father, forgive. Get up. Repent. Confess to him. Keep fighting the good fight of faith. I speak in where the Bible speaks right there. Walk in the light, church. We can be that one church without being a denomination. If we're a denomination, and we could become a denomination. If we speak where the Bible speaks, if we abide in the doctrine of Christ, we can be the one church that he promised to build, that he built, that he promised would always stand. She's still right here, church. Strong confidence. I have strong confidence in that. I want you to have strong confidence that you are not just part of some man-made denomination. They don't exist by his authority. We speak where the Bible speaks to be his church. We call Bible things by Bible names, and we do Bible things in Bible ways. We are his church through abiding in his doctrine. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commands, for this is man's all. That is why you exist. Glorify him through your life in this temporary flesh vehicle that you are riding around in. That's not you that I'm looking at. That's the flesh vessel that you are temporarily inhabiting. While you're in it, seek his face. Fight the flesh that's dragging you down. Fight against it using the Spirit and all those tools that God has put in your tool bag. He loves you. He wants you to win. I love you and I want you to win too. I love you in a let's go to heaven together kind of way. Speak where the Bible speaks. All right. We took it apart by the authority of Scripture. You were more noble like those Berean Jews. You know this is the doctrine of Christ. And now you're going to teach me again. Speak where the Bible speaks. Let's sing it again, church.
Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent. Where the Bible's silent, do Bible things. Do Bible ways. Speak where the Bible speaks, be silent. Where the Bible's silent, call Bible things. Father.
Amen, church.
Very encouraging. The Lord's church could sing. We're not encumbered by those instruments that are not by the authority of Jesus Christ. I appreciate you singing out. Sure makes my job a lot easier. You did a great job. You know why you did a great job? Because you sang the doctrine of Christ. You sang the truth. You were more noble, like those Berean Jews in Acts 17:11. You took apart these lyrics with me. You examined what I'm teaching. You looked at those scriptures that I cited, and you know that this is the doctrine of Christ. Speaking where the Bible speaks. Let's do it again. Let's see. We talked about the Ethiopian eunuch. We talked about the first gospel sermon. That was Acts 8, and the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2. We covered that all accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, the book of conversions, begin with belief and end in baptism. Every single one of them. Without fail. Let's talk about the jailer. It's a great account. I love this account. They were in jail. Paul and Silas in jail singing. And there was an earthquake. The doors flew open and the jailer sprang in thinking that they had all escaped because he saw the doors open. The jail doors. The cell doors were open. He thought, that's it. So he drew his sword and he was about to kill himself. This is from Acts chapter 16. And they said, don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. He knew that something bigger than himself was going on there. He was going to kill himself because the Romans were going to kill him for losing prisoners. It doesn't matter that it was out of his control and he couldn't do anything about it because it was God opening those doors with an earthquake. So he's going to kill himself. Don't hurt yourself. We're all still here. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? That was his next question. He knew something bigger than himself was going on. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord. At that point, the chapter ends. We're going to cut it off right there. It doesn't end, does it? It does not end. That's verse 31. The religious world, all these man-made denominations around here, they're going to cut it off right there because they love that easy believism fable, 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. They love those fables. Boy, they love that teacher, that ear-tickling preacher. It makes them feel good. It makes them sit on that pew week after week thinking they're in a good condition with God, that they're in a saved state. But that's not where the chapter ends. It isn't. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord. Then he spoke the word of the Lord to him. We can know from what happened next what he spoke, because it doesn't say he preached the gospel. It doesn't say he gave him the plan of salvation. It doesn't say he commanded them to be baptized. It doesn't. But we can know by his response exactly what Paul taught him. They were baptized straightway at midnight, the very same hour. They didn't wait till the next day when it could be an outward display of an inward change. The jailer didn't go out. Let me see if I can text my buddies. Hey, jailer buddy, come on out. We're going to have an outward display of an inward change scheduled baptism next Sunday. Baptism Sunday. I can't find any baptism Sundays in the Bible. Mm-mm. But I can find that jailer being baptized straightway at midnight, the very same hour. 31 through 33. Acts 16, 31. When they say that, oh, believe in the Lord, Acts 16, 31. Have you ever noticed the next two verses right after that? Acts 16, 31. And then he spoke the word of the Lord. You're not going to believe. You know, it tells us, it shows us, God shows us what Paul preached when you look at the next two verses. Because he didn't say, believe on the Lord and that's all you got to do. He said, believe on the Lord and he spoke the word of the Lord to him. We can know that he preached baptism for salvation because he was baptized immediately. Straightway, at midnight. He also repented when he washed their stripes. He changed his mind. He washed their stripes. He was baptized, him and his family. We can know that Paul preached baptism for salvation. We can also know because there's one way of salvation. Is one a repeating theme in Scripture? Of course it is. Yeah. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. One Lord, one faith, one baptism is verse 5 there. But there's just one God. Everybody believes that. Lots of people believe that. Most people. Maybe that number's dwindling these days. There's one Jesus. He's the one mediator. Oh, yes, I believe that. Well, there's one church. Hold on now, Paul. I don't believe that. Well, why not? If there's one God and there's one Jesus, why wouldn't there be one church? If there's one faith, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, why isn't there one God, one Jesus, one church, and one way of salvation into that one church? There is. There's just one way of salvation, and the denominations don't teach it. But I'm going to speak where the Bible speaks. All accounts of conversion in the book of Acts, the book of conversions, begin with belief and end in baptism. And if you haven't done that, you're not a Christian. If you haven't done that, you don't have the blood of Jesus credited to your account. That perfectly sinless life that Jesus led, where he made the right choice every time, does you no good unless you do what he said you must do in order to benefit from that saving blood. Jesus offers one way of salvation. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:16. And if you haven't done that, you haven't been saved. You're not ready for judgment. You're not ready to be judged. If you have, you still got to walk in the light. If you haven't been walking in the light, you can make that right now. Maybe it's private. Maybe you need to make up your own mind. Repent privately. Maybe it's public. Maybe you need prayers for the church that you can overcome some particular temptation. If you need to obey the gospel by being immersed in water because Jesus said so, so that his blood will forgive you of your sins and the powerful working of God, Colossians 2:10-12. If you need to repent in your own mind privately, if you need to repent publicly, or if you need prayers for anything, that's what the church does because we love each other. I love you. I want you to be prepared when the Lord comes in the clouds to judge us all. If you have any need, make it known right now while we stand and sing.